0-2 with two outs. Bases full of Marlins. He comes set. And the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, and he got him. Strikeout of Miguel Rojas will end this game, and Sir Anthony Dominguez, well, he made it interesting, but the Phils able to hold on and get the win here tonight. His fourth save of the season, and the Phillies a victory tonight over the Marlins 2-1.
Well, thank you, Greg Murphy. They had him all the way. Not a moment in doubt last night as Sir Anthony loads the bases in the ninth inning and then gets out of it, as you see, with the strikeout. Good morning, everybody. I'm Glenn Mack now. Good morning, Ricky Ricardo.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you? I've been looking forward to this, my friend.
Thank you. I'm doing fine, pal. You and I spoke last night, and I don't think – well, let me put it this way. You and I have done – beer shows together. You've been nice enough to be a guest on my beer TV and podcast, but we've never done a regular shift together. Am I right?
No. It's been a long time coming. We've spoken about doing this at some point, but it's finally here. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, as I said. It's a lot to talk about, although, you know, we're in that time of year where we're in kind of that sports purgatory, but there's still lots to talk about. So for the next 3 hours, folks, buckle up and let's have a little fun.
All right, let us start. We'll start with the Phillies. As you said, a lot to talk about. Some good guests today. And let's start with the highlight. Brian Westbrook is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll explain what that's about to you. But last night, Phillies end their four-game losing streak. They beat the best pitcher in baseball, Sandy Alcantara, who, by the way, was pretty good. But the key to the game, Rick, is that Kyle Gibson hung in there. You know, the Phils are down 1-0, although it felt like about 6-0. And Kyle Gibson, who's been slumping, really got back on track. And to me, that was kind of the key to the game.
Big start for Gibson. And the new Miami Stadium, not the old, you know, where they used to play in the old football stadium.
I missed that big statue, whatever you call that thing, out in the outfield.
Land Shark. It had about 10 different names over.
No. I'm talking about the fountain with the dolphins.
Oh, you mean the piece of art?
Well, art is loosely called. call it that, but yes, I miss seeing that.
That was removed by the ex-CEO, Derek Jeter.
Yeah, good move.
But that place has been a house of horrors, as you know, Glenn, for the Phillies. So you kind of expected something to go wrong last night, but Gibson was dynamite against Sandy Alcantara, who will probably be, if Kershaw, who had a perfect game going into the eighth last night against the Angels, if Kershaw is the opener for the National League in the All-Star game on Tuesday, you would think that Alcantara might come in right after Clayton Kershaw. He's that good as far as National League starting pitchers are concerned. So that's a huge win last night. The ironic thing is that it's JT Realmuto.
Let me tee this up, right?
Yep.
Because as you say, they're down 1-0, and you kind of said what happened, but let's play it.
Bill still trying to push one across here. In the seventh, the 1-2 pitch, ground ball, hard hit, and past the diving third baseman Anderson. That will score Hall, and it goes all the way back to the wall. So JT Realmuto cruises into second. He's got himself a double. It was just past Anderson, who may have had a chance at it, but it would have been one heck of a play.
As you say, that was the big hit, and he had a big game with three hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you used the word ironic a moment ago. Certainly comes after the controversy. So let me run this by you and see how you feel about it.
All right.
See if we feel the same. Because everybody knows what happened last week when it was disclosed that he could not travel to Toronto with the Phillies because he had not been vaccinated, and he talked about it last week. And listen, at this point, people are vaccinated or not, and I have my own opinions on it. You do. I don't even think that's relevant anymore because nobody's mind is changing. But where he stepped in it is when he talked about, well, I have to give up a little bit of salary, which came out to $263, which in nobody else's world counts as a little bit. He did try to walk it back. Well, I don't want to say. He walked it back last night. I'm going to read you his quotes. You tell me what you think. He said, I wish I hadn't used the words little bit. When the thought little came into my mind, it was over the two games compared to the 162-game season, not the amount of money. I didn't mean it to come out that way. My logic for saying it was about the games, not the money. Hey, I'm from Oklahoma. I was raised on zero money. My family made no money till me, so I know how much money that is. I forfeited. I know it's a lot of money. My point was money not going to was that money was not going to make the decision for me. Does that work for you?
263 G's, huh?
Yeah.
I think 263 G's to the blue-collar average fan that goes to Citizens Bank Park, that's a loyal Phillies fan. Glenn, is it safe for me to say that that might be, maybe for some families, 3 years' worth of
more.
Income?
Well,
or maybe
average.
More?
I think the average family income in Philadelphia is like $50,000. So it's theoretically 5 years for a lot of
people.
So
you're talking between 4 and 5 years' worth of the average fan's annual income. So to put the term little bit of money, it just sounds so pompous to me. That's the first thing that grabbed me when I first, you know, heard those comments. And coming from a guy like Real Muto, who his persona, Glenn, and do we really know JT Real Muto? Is there much more beyond what we see as the very quiet, go about his business type of guy that we, you know, that at least we see on the surface? So this was really the first time we've scratched the surface of a guy like Real Muto a little bit, and what came out still is the stench is still hanging around.
Is that okay? Well, then you and I view it a little bit differently because he stepped. You mentioned the stench, whatever. He stepped in it. We know the metaphor we're working on here, right? He clearly stepped in it, and it was so ill-conceived, and it was so I don't want to say hurtful because somebody was hurt, but it's really bad optics for a guy like that to talk about a little bit of money. That said, he tried to apologize last night, and Rick, I don't know what more I can ask of the guy. I'm not about holding grudges. You think it was not sufficient?
Whether it was sufficient or not, he hit a nerve when it comes to, especially during these days, we're living in hard times, Glenn. So for that fan who's saving money up to take his family of four to a game and watch a team that is battling for a playoff spot, that has taken on the personality of the managers, a lot of good things that have come of the post-Girardi Philadelphia Phillies. So I maybe forgive isn't the word I'm looking for. Look, he did his part last night to win the game, although I think he has underproduced for the kind of contract that he signed, and then moving forward, that's going to be an albatross at some point for the organization. It's a lot of money for a guy who's maybe not as good as we all thought he was, but I'm not looking for an apology. If he's going to walk it back with a few more games where you contribute to wins. That's going to be the best way he can clean this mess.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think more people are probably see this the way you do than I do. I mean, Howard just got a couple hours out of righteous indignation there, and I think most of the people called agreed with him. And I also think, as you're kind of alluding, the amount of forgiveness depends on how well he plays. You know, that 698 OPS, as we're now more than halfway through the season, and the defense that isn't as good as we thought it should be is ain't going to help him. Anyway, I'm of the mind to kind of let it go, but I imagine a lot of people are not. And Rick, I'm going to try to do this really quick, and feel free to say whatever you want. It is just a shame to me that everything is political these days. People come to the station by and large to get away from politics, and everything from, I mean, sports becomes politics when it's this, when the Flyers trade for a guy who's made political waves. Healthcare is about politics. Yesterday, if you're following the news yesterday, South Philly cheesesteak institutions became about politics. It's that's it. That's all I got to say on that.
Well, we agree there. You know, this is a place where you come to get away from the craziness.
But you can't sometimes, right?
Yeah, it's hard to escape
it. It's everybody's on their team. It's blue, it's red, and everything relates to politics. All right.
I'll tell you one thing, Glenn.
Yeah.
I remember a time in this country where it didn't matter where your politics landed. We all, some way, somehow, ended in the... I'm more of the Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan, whether we disagree politically during the day, let's have a cold beer.
That's right. Right?
At the Rick, end of the day, that's where I fall.
I think you and I should take that literally.
There you go.
Okay. I'm watching the game last night, and I'm watching Mickey Moniak be so outmatched, Ricky.
Yeah, overmatched, and, absolutely.
And I ran the numbers this morning. Phillies have had five guys this year who have played center field. Odubel Herrera, Moniak, Matt Vierling, Roman Quinn, lest you forget, and Mercado, who played a game, so I don't know that he counts. But if you take those five guys, they are a combined 212 batting average with just 33 RBIs in 392 at-bats. Rick, they haven't had a center fielder since Victorino.
Correct.
Trade deadline's coming up. When you and I did a little pregame talk last night, we said let's talk about some trades. That's my top priority for the Phils. I don't know if that's yours, or what do you think they ought to be looking at?
Here's the guy I'd love to see roaming center field for the Phillies. And I choose this particular player because you're going to need a guy who can be as close, and you're not going to get it, but as close to a Gary Maddux as possible. And what I mean by that is to help out your slightly inferior defensive corner outfielders by covering as much ground into both gaps, into left center and right center.
As Ray Didinger originally wrote, the line has been attributed to others, but it was Ray Didinger's. Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. The rest is covered by Gary Maddux.
Exactly.
And you're looking for a guy who can at least cover a couple of the Great Lakes.
The closest thing out there to me that can be had is Michael A. Taylor, who is now with the Kansas City Royals. Ooh. We saw plenty of him with the Washington Nationals. He's a decent right-handed bat with a little pop, but he is going to help both Schwarber and Castellanos immensely with the way he can cover ground in both left center and right center. And for what the Phillies have to offer, and let's be honest, Glenn, they don't have a lot in the cupboard to be able to offer another team. And for the Royals to make a deal right now, you really just have to tickle them a little bit. You don't have to overwhelm them. Just tickle them a little bit. But that would be a guy who is not going to cost you a lot of money, who is a dynamite defensive player, right-handed pop, some speed.
That's a great name.
And a guy that knows the National League East from his years with the Nets.
I won a gold glove for the Royals last year.
Yes, he did.
I had not thought of that name because everybody always says, oh, Benintendi, you should go for Benintendi. And Benintendi, to me, is just another corner, decent average corner outfielder.
And he's not vaccinated either, Benintendi, by the way.
Well, they better not play Kansas City. They better not play Toronto in the World Series. You know what? That's going to be, well, I don't think Toronto's getting to the World Series, but if they were, that would be a huge issue. I like that, Michael. I had not thought of him.
And
you know, I'm looking at all the names and so on. I mean, he's not a great offensive player, but you don't need that, man. You bat him. He's not horrible. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. He can steal a base. He'll hit 10 home runs a year, but boy, he's a terrific gold glove outfielder. That's a really good name.
And, you know, like I said, with what the Phillies will have to give up, he's the perfect guy. Kansas City, like I said, is not going to demand much for him. They've got some young players that they want to bring up and take a look at for a couple of months. So by August 2nd, I'd love to see Michael A. Taylor in the Phillies outfield.
I like that. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. Real quickly, you are one of my favorite baseball guys. You are the Spanish language broadcaster for the New York Yankees. Had a little Yankees Red Sox action last night.
Oh,
man,
God.
You're working triple shifts these days.
4-hour game again last night.
Oh, dude, who would have thought? Okay. So that may lead to what I want to ask you, and I'll ask our callers too, 215-592-9494. Ricky Ricardo, a guy whose baseball opinion I very much trust. What's the biggest problem with baseball these days?
It reared its ugly head again last night. And as it was happening, the first person that came to my mind was you and this conversation this morning. I think I mentioned it to you when we spoke yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But our old buddy Aaron Boone, who's the manager of the Yankees, who grew up in the clubhouse area of the Vet. Aaron, who is as big an Eagle fan as you're going to find, son of the great Bob Boone, need I say more. But a again last night, Glenn. Again, he got ejected. And remember, Aaron Boone has a pacemaker installed. All right? And he blew his lid again at the home plate umpire over the strike zone. I've watched this progress all year long. I think one of the major problems baseball has right now is the inconsistency of the umpires in general. Look, the mess gets cleaned up around the bases when they go to replay, okay? And I'm watching every time there's an appeal, 9 out of 10 times it gets overturned, okay? There is a blatant mistake. But the strike zone for different hitters, different umpires, is out of control. I think, Glenn, it is time for the electronic strike zone. We have the technology. Mm-hmm. Use it. The technology is making the fact that we have it, and you see in that little square box.
Well, that's part of the problem.
There you go.
The little square box is what makes it even worse, because now everybody sees every mistake.
Everybody sees the mistake that the umpire is making. And last night, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are 6 feet, 7 inches, 6'8", whatever they might be. The strike zone is different for a guy like that as compared to a Jose Altuve or somebody more average height in the middle. And I've seen this just all year long, game after game after game, with these managers, not only Aaron, it's been across the board, but managers getting upset, hitters getting upset at the home plate umpire. They step out, they look at the, you know, it delays the game even more. If you're looking at pace of play, I think it's time to take the strike zone out of the hands of the home plate umpire. Look, he's still going to be there. There's not going to be a loss of jobs. The union's not going to lose.
There are plays at the plate. I get it. Hey, you know what? I don't disagree. And I think it's a problem in all the sports. And the reason it's more of a problem in all the sports is the technology is so good that the camera catches all the mistakes. That's why it's not that the officiating is worse. I mean, maybe it is because of egos and so on. But I generally think what it all relates to is we at home watching on TV can see better when it's a ball or a strike than the ump. We can see in football when a receiver steps out of bounds easier than the guy in the field. We see it in super slow motion in the NBA when a guy gets hacked. It's why umpiring, officiating in all leagues is worse, and it's why all the leagues have to follow that.
We saw Doug Harvey, Harry Wendelstedt, Eric Gregg, some of the great umpires that you and I grew up on. We don't know how good they were at calling balls and strikes because there was no box.
Yeah.
Eric
Gregg out of that.
Well, you're probably right.
let's sneak in Rick in West Philly. You're on with Ricky Ricardo and Glenn Macneau. Hey, Rick. Rick, you with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, man, I don't understand if the problem is with the Jason Mitchell thing, because my thing is this. To him, it is a little bit of money. I understand that. It doesn't bother me. So I'm trying to figure out why.
You're more magnanimous than the entire rest of the world.
Yeah, well, that's because the rest of the world's probably jealous because he's making this type of money.
Well, the rest of the world is jealous because they believe they pay his salary, and therefore they don't want to be reminded that.
Yeah, don't rub that in my face.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm just, like I said, it doesn't. Why does it bother y'all? Because y'all have to buy the tickets.
Okay, this is not an argument I really want to have with you. You can feel however you want on that. That's up to you. Coming up, by the way, let me tee up a little bit more of the show, because we got a lot of good stuff coming up. As I said. We're going to be joined at 11 o'clock. Brian Westbrook has written a book along with our mutual pal, Leslie Van Arsdale, a local TV vet, children's book. And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to, of course, take the opportunity to discuss with Brian what he thinks about the Eagles right now. We're also going to be joined at noon by Anthony Sanfilippo, who really does the best Flyers coverage out there of anybody these days. His Snow the Goalie podcast is an essential. And I just want to say, because I love hockey, and I follow this stuff, and I feel for these fans. And if you look at what the Flyers have done since April, Rick.
It's a joke.
I mean, I don't know that I want to go through the whole checklist. And some of them had to trade Giroux, but then the season ends and they trade for Tony DeAngelo this week and they buy out Lindblom and they sign the worst forward in hockey to a four-year deal and they pass on Gaudreau. Guess I buried the lead there. And it's almost like they're sitting around in an office every day, the general manager, and saying, how can I alienate the fan base? So you and I will express our sympathy to the Flyers fans, and we will get righteous outrage as the show goes up.
Absolutely.
215-592-9494. Coming up, well, maybe one of the greats of the greats may have had his last moment at a huge tournament yesterday. We will talk about that. 215-592-9494. With Ricky Ricardo, I'm Glenn Macnow. Saturday morning on 94 WIP.